Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather here on this Sunday, this beautiful Lord's Day, this 12th Sunday after Pentecost, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to say that I'm glad that all of you are here today, and just apprise you of a couple of announcements. Community Fest, August 26th, that should be next Saturday. So we are looking forward to that. We still have to be approved by the city, so we're waiting on that. So it's whenever the police department gets around to approving that, I'm on edge. But that's when it will be. So that's August the 26th. John is assuring me that that's going to happen. So all right. Yeah. Okay. Just to also remind you that we will be coming to the end of our summer season shortly. We have a couple of more weeks here in the chapel, and then we will be back into the sanctuary. So we look forward to that. Look forward to getting back, and for folks who are on vacation to be back, and for us to kind of get back on in normal time. But that should be in a couple of weeks after the Labor Day weekend. Remind you too to please go to our website to stay apprised of everything happening at Olney Presbyterian Church. We try to put everything out on the website. That's the way everybody is kind of communicating now. But please read your bulletin, and also go to our website to stay apprised of what's happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. At this time, we want to continue our worship with our prayers of the people. And we want to, many of you are aware that our dear sister Lisa James passed away a couple of days ago. And so we want to keep her whole family lifted up in prayer. Bill, I hope you know that we are here for you, and anything that we can do for you during this very difficult moment, I hope that you would please let us know. But we'll have more details about the memorial service. Well, those details are forthcoming. But please keep Bill and keep the whole family in your prayers. Our scripture reading this morning will come from the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We'll begin reading at verse 10 of Matthew's Gospel and read through verse 28. It's actually found on page 894 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us this morning. Then he called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" And he answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." And Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, A Canaanite woman came from that region and came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." But he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Our story this morning is a dog story. Story about dogs. At some point or another, I'm sure that we've all heard the expression, something like, you know, "It's going to the dogs." I was talking to some friends not long ago who moved out of the neighborhood where they had lived for many years, and the reason they gave for moving was because the neighborhood, they said, was going to the dogs. And usually that's what we say when something that once belonged exclusively to us starts also belonging to someone else. It's going to the dogs, we say. And that's what's happening in our gospel lesson this morning. The gospel, the good news, is going to the dogs. Of course, calling someone a dog was just as insulting and derogatory in Jesus' day as it is in our own. Today, you're aware that we have all kinds of derogatory terms for people that we often have contempt for, and we usually engage in a lot of name-calling, sometimes name-calling coming from the highest reaches in our society, but we all have names of contempt, names like dogs and snakes, rats, deplorables, whatever. There are many terms that we use for people that we believe don't measure up in some way. People who are not human like us. And that's the way that many Jews during Jesus' time felt about people who were non-Jews, people who were considered to be Gentiles, non-Jews. They were considered to be unworthy, considered to be unclean, considered to be ungodly. They did not know the ways of God, and therefore they didn't know how to live. They were considered to be dogs and beasts. But that's where Jesus is at this morning. He is in non-Jewish territory. He is in Gentile territory. He has gone to be with the dogs. The text doesn't tell us why Jesus has gone into this foreign territory in Tyre and Sidon. We don't know why, but I think he's gone there perhaps to get away from it all. After all, things have not been going particularly well for him among his own people. He can't seem to impress upon his own people who he is. His family doesn't seem to understand him. The religious leaders don't seem to understand him. Not even his own disciples clearly understand him. And it's very disappointing for him because that's who he came for, first and foremost. He came for his people. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. But he doesn't seem to be able to get through to him. He doesn't seem to be able to help them to understand. But have you ever noticed that sometimes it is outsiders who can see things that insiders can't see? Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's people on the outside who can appreciate and understand what the insiders can't seem to appreciate and understand? Well, that seems to be the case with this Canaanite woman. You know, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't go into this Gentile territory, into this foreign territory, looking for this woman. He doesn't go there with open arms seeking to invite her and welcome her in or any of the other foreigners in. Instead, we are told that this woman comes looking for Jesus. She comes looking for him because she's a mother in desperate need of mercy and healing for her daughter. And that's what she says when she approaches Jesus. "Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on me." Isn't that what we all need every now and then? A little bit of mercy. For somebody to have some mercy on us, that's what this woman most wants, is some mercy. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Did you all catch that? She calls Jesus the Son of David. And that's a messianic term. It's a messianic title. It's a title that indicates that Jesus is Israel's king, that Jesus is Israel's Lord, that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's this foreign woman, this Canaanite woman, who can see what no one else seems to be able to see just yet in Matthew's gospel. That Jesus is indeed the Messiah. He is the Christ. Already this Canaanite woman, this foreign woman, can see that. And so that's what she says. "Have mercy on me, Son of David. Have mercy on me, Messiah, Jesus. Have mercy." And those of us who know Jesus might expect that this is an easy one for Jesus. We might expect that Jesus says, "Yes, yes, of course. Come, come all of you. Come everyone. Come all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what you need. I will give you healing. I will give you rest. I will give you whatever you need. Come, daughter, come." But Jesus doesn't say anything like that. In fact, initially, he doesn't say anything at all. He just ignores her. Have you ever experienced that sometimes? You know, you go to someone with some need or some request, and they just kind of ignore you, pretend you're not even there. We don't know why Jesus ignores her. Maybe it's because she's a foreigner, a Canaanite woman. Maybe he ignores her because she's just a woman in general. Women didn't figure very prominently in the ancient world, particularly when it comes to men. And maybe Jesus is just ignoring her because she's a woman. Maybe it's because Jesus is just kind of sick and tired of people coming to him and wanting him to do something for them without getting anything in return. Or maybe it's because he's just testing her faith. We don't know, but I suspect that if I was the woman, it would be enough to make me angry or discouraged or at least put off by him. But this woman doesn't give up. Despite the Lord's disciples urging him to get rid of her, send her away, send this noisy woman away, this woman continues to shout after us, this woman who continues to beg from us, send her away, for goodness sake. But the woman doesn't give up. Instead, she comes to him, and she kneels, and again she pleads, "Lord, help me." And that's when Jesus starts name-calling. That's when he starts calling names. It's not fair, he says, to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And say, wow, Jesus sounds just like one of our modern politicians. He sounds like the way we do today. It doesn't sound a whole lot like Jesus. It doesn't sound like the Jesus we know. That sounds more like us. That sounds like something you and I might say. We've all heard people say those kinds of things, haven't we? We've all heard people say it's not fair. It's not fair to give those people what rightly belong to us. It's not fair to take what rightly belongs to us and throw it to the dogs, throw it to those people. It's not fair to take our tax dollars and spend it on these kind of people. It's just not fair. But now this woman has been insulted. She's been ignored. She's been insulted. She's been called names. And if she wasn't discouraged or put off by Jesus before, she should really be discouraged now. I would. I'd probably give Jesus a piece of my mind and then leave. But she doesn't give up. Yes, she says, yes, Lord. Yes, maybe I'm a dog. Maybe I'm not human like you're human. Yes, but even the dogs are able to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Crumbs. That's all she wants is some crumbs. I was watching on TV, on television some time ago. We were talking about some of the things that we throw away here in the United States. You know, we have so much and we get so much. And they were talking about all the trash, all the things we throw away. And so much, because we don't like to dump a lot of it here, what we usually do with a lot of it is we put it on ships and containers, and we ship it out to other places in the world, to poorer countries. And this program was showing some of the places where we dump a lot of our trash, a lot of our stuff, and it just showed the big mountains and mountains of trash, mountains and mountains of stuff. And it had these kids, and they were picking through it, and other people, they were picking through it, and it was, some of it contained old clothes they were looking for, old clothes, old television frames, old computer frames, all the kinds of stuff that we throw away. Mountains and mountains of it, and that's all they were looking for is some of the crumbs. Some of the crumbs that we throw away. They're happy with just some of the crumbs. And that's what this woman says. That even the dogs eat the crumbs that falls from the table. She just wants some crumbs. If she could just get some crumbs of God's grace, some crumbs of God's mercy, some crumbs that belong to God's people, if she could just get a little bit of that for herself, then she knows that her daughter will be healed, that her daughter will be rid of the demon that possesses her. And so, yes, Lord, she says, if you could just give me some crumbs, I'll be content with that. Whatever, we're told that this woman's answer moves Jesus. It moves him. Maybe it moves him because it reminds him of his own ministry. You know, Jesus was constantly bringing people together around the table. He was constantly eating and drinking with all kinds of people, eating and drinking with tax collectors, eating and drinking with prostitutes, eating and drinking with sinners of every kind. And perhaps this woman's answer helped Jesus to realize that around God's table, there's room even for strangers. Around God's table, there's room for foreigners. Around God's table, there's room for people like this Canaanite woman. Around God's table, there's enough for everyone. There's always enough, more than enough. Whatever it was, Jesus is deeply, deeply moved by this woman's answer. And so he tells her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done as you wish." Great is your faith. Great faith she has. Dogged faith. Persistent faith. Last week we read about Peter, and we read about the disciples in the boat and out on the sea, and the boat is, you know, caught in a storm, and it's you know, twisting and turning and everything, and then Jesus shows up, and Peter sees Jesus, and Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me call out to me, let me come to you." And Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to walk on the water, and then he starts looking around and he sees the waves all around him, and he takes his focus on Jesus, off Jesus, and he begins to sink. And Jesus says, after rescuing him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter was the consummate insider. But now we have the story of this consummate outsider. We have a story of this Canaanite woman. This woman who is on the outside. This woman who would be considered a dog. And it's this woman who is the one who, unlike Peter, has great faith. Great faith not because she's in great need. Great faith not because she's persistent. But I believe she has great faith because her faith stays focused on Jesus. I think that's what it means to have great faith. It's to stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus in the midst of the storm. Stay focused on Jesus when everything seems like it's against you. Stay focused on Jesus. Even when it seems like God doesn't hear you, stay focused on Jesus. As the one who can bring us what we need, as the one who can save the world. Last time this text came around in the lectionary cycle, we were in the middle of the pandemic. And things were, you know, looking a little scary. Everything was shut down. We were shut down. The nation was terribly in turmoil and divided. No one knew what the future was going to look like. And we were just called to be people of faith, people who stayed focused on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But let's face it, every time is kind of a scary time. Today, too, is kind of a scary time. All kind of things are going on around us. All kind of things are going on in our country. All kinds of challenges that we haven't faced before. We don't know what the future is going to look like. But we are called to stay focused. Focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Focused on the one who saves. Focused on the one who brings mercy. That, I believe, is what great faith, what constitutes great faith. Some people say that this Canaanite woman, even though her role is somewhat insignificant in Matthew's gospel overall, some say that this Canaanite woman is the one who changed Jesus. They say that the Bible itself says Jesus kind of grew in wisdom and stature, and Jesus' encounter with this Canaanite woman kind of changed him, kind of expanded his outlook. Before then, Jesus was just kind of focused on Israel. Go to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he tells his disciples earlier. Now he tells this woman, I was called only to the lost sheep of Israel. But somehow this woman has changed even Jesus. She has opened up space in even Jesus' heart. Some people believe that she's changed Jesus. I don't know about that, but here's what I do know. I know that I'm glad that the gospel went to the dogs this morning. I'm glad that the gospels went out to Gentile territory, to foreign territory, to Canaanite territory. Because had the gospel not gone to the dogs, the gospel would have never come to you and me. And so the question for us this morning is, what kind of faith are we going to have? Will we be those of little faith? Will we be people like Peter, the insider? Peter, the person who's close to Jesus? Peter, the person who's supposed to know? Or will we be like this Canaanite woman who, in her great need, in her persistence, keeps her eye on Jesus? Woman, he says, you have great faith. Go and let it be as you wish. And may that be with all of us as we seek to be God's faithful people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you've called us to be people of faith. Faith in the midst of the storm. Faith in the midst of all that we confront. Faith in the face of persistent difficulties in our lives. Faith in the face of death and loss. Faith in your power to overcome even the forces and powers of death. Lord, we ask you to help us to be the people of faith that you have called us to be. Help us to keep focused on you. Help us to trust you and believe in you and believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.